We're here on a Wednesday night, and it's a beautiful thing to look at the journey we're going through as a body of believers. And it was interesting because coming out of this past Sunday had a lot of different folks, more than normal, reaching out about repentance and about examining hearts and realizing the race and journey that we're all truly on. And we gather here, and this is a night, middle of the week, you get a little reminder and you get a little recharge. It's a chance to come together. We worship together. We pray together. We fellowship together. We study together. We fellowship some more. And then the prayers that we all journey home, filled afresh. Filled afresh. And then rest. Then rise. And then tomorrow, run the race. So it's that cycle that we do. And I just think it's a reminder. This is a recharge moment. Let yourself get recharged. And thank the Lord that we have this time. I thank the Lord that we have each other. Thank the Lord that we have his word. And thank the Lord for the unity we have in his spirit. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus. Father, it is a gift to gather in your house. Lord, it is a gift to be one in you. Lord, we thank you for this time, Lord. And Father, we take it not for granted. Let it never become something that's just a ritual, Lord, but that we realize we get to do this, Lord. We get to come to our Father's house with our brothers and sisters and worship you and pray and learn about you. Lord, what a gift this all is. Heavenly Father, bless this time. Heavenly Father, lead this night. Give the words that are needed for the preaching of your word. Move me out of the way, Lord. And Father, forgive us, Lord, for the slip-ups, for the moments we lose our eyes focused on you, Lord. Help us to just lay it all at the cross. Help us to surrender, Jesus, that we would just have ears to hear what you have for your children. Lord, to come to you, our Heavenly Father, as little children in our Father's lap, humble and innocent, Lord, before you, to just say, teach us. Teach us. And Lord, through the teaching, convict us, refine us, encourage us. Lord God, the power of your word, Hebrews reminds us of the double-edged sword. Our thoughts, our hearts, explored through your word. Lord, you alone know what each and every single person here listening is going through. And only you alone can speak to each individual through your word. So do that, Lord. And Father, help us stay out of the way. Help us to turn off the distractions and just focus on you, our King. Thank you, Jesus. In the name of our mighty King, the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray this. Amen. So last week we were in and did Psalm 69. And when we did that, really the two things we were exploring through that text is, how do you cry? Where do you go? When there's trials and tribulations, when there's hardships, what's the cry look like? And we saw simply, it's a twofold, cry to God, go to God. And in that psalm, it was a sorrowful, lamenting psalm. A psalm of trial, a psalm of grief, a psalm of persecution, life on the line for David. And yet again, we were reminded, in David's hopelessness, he's delivered in the one hope. Not hope in, but because hope is God. And that's where he finds that deliverance. And this psalm last week ended with a choice, choosing to praise. Psalm 30, I will praise the name of God with a song and will magnify him with thanksgiving. In the storm, do you choose to praise? Do you choose to praise? Because we got to choose it. It's a choice. I'm going to praise you, Lord. I'm going to lift your name, Lord. And the charge was to meditate, pray, praise through Psalm 69. How'd you do with that? And let me ask you, what's he speaking to you? Where is he leading you? Myself, the Lord keeps impressing, tarry in prayer as never before. Tarry in prayer as never before. For me, for our body, for all of us, to truly seek him in prayer. That communion with him. Scripture at the center of the prayer. Hands open, search me, Lord. And as we do all that, we need to remember something. The pursuit of God, the seeking of God is taking place in a fallen world laden with sin. And because of a fallen world, we're guaranteed trials. We're guaranteed woes. Not maybe, not possibly. It's a guarantee. And tonight, we're going to actually do two psalms. Psalm 70 and Psalm 71. And in that, we're going to be seeing practical reminders and practical disciplines. Because it's interesting when you look at these two together, it really does lay that. And that's actually the title of the message tonight, Practical Reminders and Practical Disciplines. Because sometimes as we go through in this journey of the Psalms, as I was looking at these and praying in them, it's like, you know, there's so much the Lord through these two Psalms of praise in this little moment gives us things that we just need to remember. And then we need to say, how's my discipline with that? How's my discipline with that? So the first, and there's a reason why we can do two, because the first we've actually covered, believe it or not, when we did Psalm 40. Okay, because if you look at Psalm 40, verses 13 to 17, it's the same verses. And when we had studied that psalm, we mentioned it. So go back, listen to Psalm 40 if you want. The only difference is make haste in Psalm 40 is be pleased. And we did our dive there. Go back if you'd like. But what's interesting, some will point to maybe there was a liturgical reasoning that this psalm would come back again. I always go back to something when we see something repeated in Scripture, there's an important reason. So let's spend some time on that and thinking of that. The title's to the chief musician. It's a psalm of David to bring remembrance. It's a psalm that brings a memorialization, something to remember, something to recall. This is a psalm that is another lament psalm. We're in a little season of lamenting psalms. We came from praise and then lament. A heart of praise prepares you for the lament. Now we see here, this psalm, it's an urgent plea. This is an urgent plea from David. And brothers and sisters, something to realize, we're all going to have urgent pleas in our life. We're going to have moments of despair, moments of hopelessness, moments where we're scared, moments where we think, how? How am I going to do this? What is going on, Lord? And in those moments, the enemy, that's when he really tempts us with something. You know, you better just spend some time. You need some time to be alone. You need to just get away, be alone, isolate, keep to yourself. Can God really help you right now? That's what the enemy likes to whisper. Remember, go back to the fall, Genesis 3. That's what he does. Did God really? Can God really? Comes with those things. Yet when we look at this, we have a practical reminder. Don't pull away. Don't isolate. And I say too with that, brothers and sisters, if a brother or sister's doing that, get that smartphone and reach out. That's what we do in the Bride of Christ. So we start this, verse 1. Make haste, O God, to deliver me. Make haste to help me, O Lord. We see the urgency. Let them be ashamed and confounded who seek my life. Let them be turned back and confused who desire my heart. Let them be turned back because of their shame who say, aha, aha. So there's going to be, for this psalm, four kind of practical things we'll point out, four practical reminders and four disciplines to look at. The first one we see in these first three verses, go to God. Practical reminder. Trouble comes, trial comes, woe comes, distress comes, unknowns come. go to God. Seek his deliverance. Seek his help. Seek his deliverance and seek his help. Saints, realize something. The urgent moments that we have, take them to God. I think sometimes we think when something really, I'm panicked, I'm overwhelmed, and we try to then take it somewhere else. Take it to God. Take it to God. Make haste, oh God, to deliver. Make haste to help me, God, oh Lord. And we've talked before and we've looked at the passion and feeling that comes in the oh. Then look, let them be ashamed and confounded who seek my life. Let them be turned back and confused who desire my heart. Let them be turned back because of their shame who say, aha, aha. Practical reminder. One, go to God. Two, leave it to God. Because that's something we forget. We can't control the circumstance. Don't fool yourself. We can't control it. God is in control. If God's in control, how are we going to control it? God's in control. So we have to remember that. And in that, when the battle comes, when there's the enemies coming at you, the trial, whatever it may be, you can't vindicate yourself. You can't take justice into your own hands. Leave the desires of whatever imprecatory psalm you've been writing about whatever situation's going on, leave it at the cross. Leave it with the King. And for us, with the whole counsel of the Word of God, our verses 2 and 3 look a little different because our hearts are to break for what the Savior's heart breaks for, and we want to see, as he does, all come to repentance. Remember, we a few weeks back had looked back. Does your all mean all when you think about that? Verse 4, let all those who seek you rejoice and be glad in you, and let those who love your salvation say continually, let God be magnified. Practical 1, go to God. 2, leave it to God. 3, seek God, praise God, lift his name. Look what's taking place there. Seeking God. Go seek him. And when you seek him, there's rejoicing, there's being glad. Praise him. Magnifying him, having his name greater and greater and greater. You know what's interesting? To do that, seek God, praise God, and lift up his name, you've got to live. He must increase, I must decrease. There's a humility that is needed. There's a humility that is needed. That's why we tarry in prayer. And that's why we don't seek Google.com, don't seek book, seek God. Start with God. Start with the Word. Because that's where joy will be found. That's where rejoicing will be had. And then look at verse 5. But I am poor and needy. I am poor and needy. Blessed are poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God. Matthew 5:13. Remember that passage. Humble yourself. He acknowledges who he is in this moment. I'm poor and needy. I am done. I am spent. Make haste to me, O God. You are my help and my deliverer. O Lord, do not delay. Humble yourself. Wait on him. Call on his name. Now, there's an urgency still for David in this. And then this just takes that one part of Psalm 40. There's still, the urgency hasn't changed. And sometimes that urgency is there. And you wait and you can say, Lord, I need you now. I need you now, Lord. But you're waiting. You're waiting on him and telling him of the urgency. So from these five verses, we're reminded, go to God. How's that discipline for you? Do you go to God? How's that discipline? Is God the default that you go to? When it comes, when the heat's on, is it make haste, oh God, deliver me? Is that where you go? And this is a high-stakes situation. We've got to build the discipline in the low-stakes situation so that when the high-stakes situation comes, we're ready. That's why we build it. Because this is life on the line. And sometimes we approach things that really aren't life on the line as though they're life on the line. My latte fell. You'll be okay. You'll be okay, I promise. Then we see that second one, leaving it to God. Do you leave it to God? And that's something to take to your prayer time. Do you leave it to God? Those coming at you, those with the lies, whatever the circumstance could be, it's different for everyone. But do you seek to take control, or do you pray, leave it at the cross, and walk away? Far too often we pray, leave it at the cross, and then you're kind of like, now let me just tie a little drawstring and let it follow me around. No. Leave it at the cross. Do you leave it to God? Then do you seek God? Do you praise God? Do you lift his name? How are those disciplines for you? Are you seeking him? Are you praising him? Are you lifting his name? Are you humble? And how do you wait? How do you wait on the Lord? Now we then go to Psalm 71. And continuing with this, just looking through these texts and seeing these practical reminders and these practical disciplines for this evening. And what's interesting with Psalm 71, we don't get any set details. No set information about an author, no set information about a time. Yet if we read verse 9, do not cast me off in time of old age. And if we read verse 18, now also when I am old and gray-headed, O God, do not forsake me. We get something here. This writer is an aged writer. This is a writer older, a psalmist older in life. This is a psalmist older in their walk. And yet those practical reminders and disciplines never stop. They never stop. They never stop. We don't arrive until we arrive. And that arrival is eternal. It's that continued journey. Psalm 71, it's a testimony of a devoted life unto God. It's a lesson from a veteran, you could say, in many ways. It's a lesson from a seasoned one doing life and walking with God. So this one has some true applications for those older in the room, and I won't say if you're 50-year-old or 60-year-old, we don't need to go down that road. But I do have a question for the older folks with us this evening. Are you letting the next generation into your lives? Are you letting the next generation into your lives? And do you realize something? He's not finished with you yet. He's not finished with you yet. And you need to know that. This is another lament psalm. And in this psalm, there's a focus, there's a resolution to trust in God, we're going to see. And that reminds us, that is a discipline we need hardcore, trusting in God. How's your trust in the Lord God Almighty? Will you trust him no matter what? Will you trust him no matter what? It's a psalm that we'll see problems and we'll also see praise. And that's a reality of our life. Problems, praise. Problems, praise. Problems, praise. They don't cease with age. Problems are still going to come. But we've got to remind ourselves how to approach it. We've got to remind ourselves how to deal with it in the Lord. And we still praise him. So the question I have, what are you facing tonight? And for the older folks here, as we look at this older veteran in this moment, what are the trials? What are the areas that are ahead for you? What are the unknowns that you're facing right now? And as you're facing it, as you're looking at it, take this practical reminder, take the practical discipline, and let the Lord search your heart and lean on the King of Kings. Verse 1. In you, O Lord, I put my trust. Let me never be put to shame. Deliver me in your righteousness and cause me to escape. Incline your ear to me and save me. Be my strong refuge to which I may resort continually. You have given the commandment to save me, for you are my rock and my fortress. Now, if you think about this journey so far in Psalms, we could actually go through many of the Psalms we've already studied and see how this psalmist is actually pointing to a lot of phrasing we've seen from the psalmist David. When we see this idea of trust, when we see no shame, when we see deliverance, when we see aspects of Psalm 22, when we think of refuge, rock, fortress, think of Psalm 18. So we see here, this is one coming to the Lord, knowing Scripture. Walking with the Lord. And where does it begin? In you, O Lord, I put my trust. It begins with trusting in God. The one thing you can do that will never be foolish is to trust in God. It's the one thing you can do. It's a realization. One thing you can do. It's the song we sang tonight, trust and obey. Because when you trust him, you realize who he is. You surrender, 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 because you can't trust him without surrender. And then you're driven unto obedience. But there's something before that, repentance, which is why we say, search me, O Lord. And when you then are able to do that, you realize, he's saying there, in you I put my trust, let me never be put to shame. Because under the refuge of the great Almighty, there is never being put to shame. And that trust then drives us to be able to know, he's the one I go to for deliverance. Deliver me. And that deliverance comes because he's the deliverer. And notice, his righteousness causes the escape. His righteousness, it's his character, it's his faithfulness, it's his nature. It's nothing about us. There's nothing we do to make it happen. Incline your ear to me, save me. Because it's only his ear that can do anything. It's only he that can save. We have to run the race remembering it's always his arm and it's always his armor. That's where we go. And then notice, be my strong refuge to which I may resort continually. Is that your prayer? And that's a discipline we've got to build just daily. Lord, you're the one. It's the song we sang, I think, last week or 2 weeks ago. When my heart is overwhelmed, what? Lead me to the rock. Psalm 61. Because the reality is, he's the one that's a strong refuge, and we've got to have it continually. And this is an older one saying the same thing. I need it continually. You've given the commandment to save me, for you are my rock and my fortress. Saints, do you take trust and take shelter in Jesus? That's the first for this psalm. That's the first practical reminder. Trust and take shelter in him. Trust and take shelter in him, because we see here, whatever it is, and we're going to find out for this particular situation what it is, but the place where there's trust, the place where there's refuge, is only under the arms of the great Almighty. So when you explore that discipline, then you got to ask yourself, where's your refuge? I'll tell you, that's when I think about mint chocolate chip ice cream, carrot cake. They can't be my refuge. But what vice could be your refuge? Just one drink. It was a long day. It's okay if I just sit and watch the show. It's a new show. I'm just 10 episodes later. Where do you go? Because we have to examine, let the Lord examine, where are you taking shelter? Where are you trusting that's not in him? Because that's where we have to go first and foremost. Now, we're going to see what specifically is hitting here in verse 4. Deliver me, O my God, out of the hand of the wicked, out of the hand of the unrighteous and cruel man. There's an attack coming. There's an oppressiveness coming. And there's a reality, I think, as we look at Psalms and we think about the time that we're in, persecution to come, the Psalms prepare us, because as children of God, we're going to face people who say, to us. And we've got to go to the Lord. I keep praying and saying that the bride of Christ not get comfortable just because the individual that maybe folks that were praying wanted to be an officer in office. He's not the Savior. There's one Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. So we can't forget that. We need to be praying, and we need to be ready for whatever could come. And that's where we have to trust, take shelter in him. Verse 5, for you are my hope, O Lord God. You are my trust from my youth. By you I have been upheld from birth. You are he who took me out of my mother's womb. My praise shall be continually of you. You, I love this, for you are my hope, O Lord God. Adonai Yahweh. When we see this here, this is hitting Master and Covenant God. You're the one. Who's the hope? He recalls who the Lord is. And he remembers he's been upheld since birth. That's Psalm 139. When we think about it, I praise you, I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. He knows every number, all the days of our lives. I've become as a wonder to many, verse 7, but you are my strong refuge. Just wonder, because think about this. All these years, the people around wonder, he's still trusting God. How? Trial and tribulation and all these things come, it makes no sense. Why won't he just quit it? He keeps going to God. And then look, let my mouth be filled with your praise and with your glory all the day. The older psalmist knows in trials, it's always and still remains about the praise of the Lord God Almighty. It stays steadfast to the praise of the Lord God Almighty. And when we think of this idea of being upheld from birth, you are he who took me out of my mother's womb. Trust and take shelter in him. And then look back and count your thank you Jesuses. That's something we've got to do. And it's particularly when we think of this psalmist, older and running the race for years and years and years, right? And you could be running the race for years and years and years, and then suddenly this trial hits, boom, what is this? What's going on? Look back. Count your thank you Jesuses. Count your thank you Jesuses. That's a discipline young need to build, old need to build. Look back and thank you, Jesus. And you rest in his faithfulness. Rest in his faithfulness. Verse 9. Do not cast me off in time of old age. Do not forsake me when my strength fails. For my enemies speak against me, and those who lie in wait for my life take counsel together, saying, God has forsaken him. Pursue and take him, for there is none to deliver him. So we see again, stakes are high for the psalmist right now. Stakes are high. And when we think of this idea of forsaking, we, with the whole counsel of the word of God, remember the cross. Luke 23, verse 35. And the people stood looking on, but even the rulers with them sneered, saying, he saved others, let him save himself, if he is the Christ, the chosen of God. The soldiers also mocked him, coming and offering him sour wine and saying, if you are the king of the Jews, save yourself. That's the reality of the persecution hitting here. But we need to remember, we have the suffering servant as our model in whatever we face. And see how the King of Kings faced trial and tribulation unto death. And remind yourself of that. And see too, when you have those moments of feeling as though everyone's against me, everything's there, and there could be persecution that comes to the bride of Christ that puts that reality there. Go to him. Take it to the Lord. Leave it with him. But notice he's real with God about how it's hitting him. Are you real with God? It's funny because we forget. He knows it all anyway. And sometimes I think we have the, I can't take that to the Lord. Or the... He already knows. Go. Take it all to him. Take it all to him. And there's an important thing to see in verse 9. Do not cast me off in the time of old age. Do not forsake me when my strength fails. I think in older age, there's moments, and folks who are older than I can vouch and say yes or no, where you feel your strength fails you. I think that's for everybody, quite frankly. But this is hitting. There could be spiritual strength, physical strength, emotional strength, and it's leaning on the Lord God Almighty. As the body grows older, do you continue to lean on his strength? As you're older and think, I've seen it all, as a new trial comes, do you lean on his strength? Do you lean on his strength? Third practical reminder that we see, his strength, not self. His strength. not self. His strength, not self. So that same he must increase, I must decrease. And as we go on, he brings back the urgency. Verse 12, oh God, do not be far from me. Oh my God, make haste to help me. There's that urgency, and that's what it is. There's this wrestle that's going on here. There's problems, there's praise, there's the acknowledging who he is, and there's the, I need you, Lord. It's a little messy. Guess what that means? Take the messy to God. Do you take the messy to God? Are you okay going before the Lord God Almighty and it's a little messy, or do you think I've got to have it all picture perfect before I can get on my knees to the Lord? I got to have it all together. No. It's a lie from the enemy. Take it to the Lord. And it might be messy. You might be praying, well, Lord, I need you. You're so good, God. I need you. Fine. Bring it all to him. Because he's the one who's going to deliver. He's the one who's going to work through it. And then he goes back to the enemies again. Let them be confounded and consumed who are adversaries of my life. Let them be covered with reproach and dishonor who seek my heart hurt. And then that's where I'd encourage us to say, okay, and Lord, help me to see them the way you see them. Help me to maybe want to have their name in the book of life, Lord. Yeah, we got to get there. We got to get there. Saints, I'm going to remind us of something here. Unforgiveness. Unforgiveness. He gives us, if we look even, Matthew 6, turn there briefly. Just this reminder for us. For if you forgive men their trespasses, this is after the model prayer, verse 14, your heavenly Father will also forgive you, but if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. And if we hide iniquity, he doesn't hear us. I want to remind you something. If you're battling with unforgiveness with someone that they've wronged, and maybe they've really hurt you, I can tell you from personal experience, from situations that logically to man, it makes no sense that I would forgive these individuals, but because of the Lord God Almighty, but God, he broke my heart for what broke his, and I said, I forgive you. And we need to do that. We need to get there. You've got to be there with the forgiveness. We see verse 13, but I remind us when we see those imprecatory moments in the Psalms, it's not then for you to say, Lord, burn them, Jesus. I declare them, burn it. No, stop it. Let your heart be broken for what breaks his. We pray for salvation. We pray for heart change. We pray for a transformation that gives glory to the Lord God Almighty. Verse 14. But I will hope continually and will praise you yet more and more. Notice where this goes. This is where I'm talking problem praise. It's like, okay, I want them to just destroy them. But I'm going to continue to praise you. I'm going to hope in you and I'm going to praise you more and more. Worship is a weapon. Worship is a weapon. It reminds us of the character of the Lord God Almighty. It reminds us of who he is. It reminds us of the one who's in control, and we can take comfort. We need to do that. The circumstance can be the same, but we are still called to praise. We're still called to praise. My mouth shall tell of your righteousness and your salvation all the day. Look at verse 15. For I do not know their limits. He grapples. I don't understand the limits of what you can do with how good you are. How big is your righteousness? How big is the salvation of the Lord? I don't know the limits. It's limitless. That's why we can never understand the height or depth of how great his love is. But we should tell of it. Does your mouth tell of it? When you think there's no hope, do you still tell of the righteous God? Then verse 16, I will go in the strength of the Lord God. I will make mention of your righteousness, of yours only. Notice what the psalmist does here. All eyes as I'm going forward are off of me. Everything about the steps that I'm going to take has nothing to do with me. I'm going to go forward in the strength of God. You can only go forward in the strength of God if you completely acknowledge the fact you have no strength but in Christ. And then you move forward in him. And as you move forward in him, the glory goes to him. It is my righteous God who's giving me the strength to walk forward. Practical reminder 4, hope and praise nonstop. Hope and praise nonstop. It's not something we just do Sunday morning from 10 to 10:30. It's something we do every day. We hope in the Lord, we praise him, and we speak of him, and we seek his strength to go on. Remember, when you look at the armor, Isaiah 59, and then you see the armor, go back and listen to the armor of God message that we had. You've got to go in his strength, saints. It's his strength. And verse 17, oh God, you have taught me from my youth, and to this day I declare your wondrous works. That's something I pray as I get older and older, I can continually say, older saints in the room, is that you? And if it's not, what's in the way? Now also, when I am old and gray-headed, O God, do not forsake me until I declare your strength to this generation, your power to everyone who is to come. Now, this is interesting because when we look at the heart that this psalmist has towards the Lord God Almighty and knowing the faithfulness of God, it's not this point of thinking, oh, the Lord's just going to leave and stop being God. No, no, no. But it's that desire, Lord, I want even at this point your strength to keep doing the race, to keep going forward in your strength, to tell the next generation about you. He's older and desires God's strength, showing there's been a life up to this point of consistency and stability to realize that's where it comes from, and saying, I want the continued strength because I want to declare it to the next generation. Why? Because your power, it's for everyone who is to come. So saints in the room that are older, I got some questions for you. Do you pray to pour into the next generation? Do you pray to pour into the next generation? Do you cherish the reality, the way the Lord's designed it, the strength and fire he gives from the older generation and the younger generation running together the race? It is a mutual blessing. That idea is tangible to my bride and I when we think of the relationship with Pastor David and Michelle, with the elders, with Pastor Jeff and Linda, being with the older generation and running the race. There is a fire that comes from that. There is a fire and an encouragement that comes from that. And all parties are blessed beyond measure. Are you engaging in that? Older saints, we need you. Understand that. We need you. We need your stories of his glory. We need your tales of his strength. We need your voices. We need your presence in Christ. And you need to be open still, asking him to strengthen you more, asking him to use you more, that you pass it on to the next generation. If we think of how the Lord orders this in Deuteronomy, chapter 6, verse 4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. It's the first thing. We've got to remember that. That has not changed. And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. And then you shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. And then we remember something. We're family. The bride of Christ is family. Older generation, we need you pouring in to the next generation. Older saints in the room, who's the younger ones that you're declaring his strength to, that you're inviting into your home to break bread, to run the race with, to do fellowship with? Who are the moms that you're pouring into? Who are the dads that you're pouring into? We need you. We have the pleas all the time for childcare. Who can come help childcare for this event so that the young families can come? Do it. Partake. Serve. Pour in to the next generation. Pour in. And older saints, don't let the enemy age you out. Don't let the enemy age you out. Because there's something to realize about our call to ambassadorship and being children of God. We never retire. You never retire. practical reminder, practical discipline, the soldier of Christ never retires. You got to keep saying, Lord, what's next? Lord, what's next? Lord, what's next? Verse 19. Also, your righteousness, O God, is very high. You have done great things, O God. Who is like you? It's reminding again of the character, his righteousness, how high he is, realizing there is none like our God. Remember that in the ups and in the downs. And then see, he points to his sovereignty next. You who have shown me great and severe troubles shall revive me again. There's an awareness in the psalmist. It's all in the Lord God's hands. You might face unknown. You might face trial. You might face troubles and woes. And guess what? The Lord's still in control. When shock hits us, shock has not hit him. He is always in control, and he shall revive you again through the word, through his spirit. And bring me up again from the depths of the earth. You shall increase my greatness and comfort me on every side. Seeking his comfort, seeking his increase. It's a timeless anthem that we need to have as saints. That Lord, you're sovereign. You are above all. You are sovereign. All the muck you allow, and you know what's going on, and you're going to bring me through it, and I will be comforted and upheld by you as I go through it. Practical reminder, lean on the everlasting sovereign King. Lean on the everlasting sovereign King. He allows the ups, he allows the downs. Lean on him. It's that old song, lean on me. Turn the lyrics, lean on him, lean on him. That's the one we go to. As we get ready to close this psalm, also with the lute I will praise you and your faithfulness, O my God, to you I will sing with the harp, O Holy One of Israel. What a reverent title to see. We mainly see this title in the book of Isaiah, yet it comes here from the psalmist, again, pointing to a psalmist, an older one who would know things that have come and words that have been revealed through the Lord God Almighty, O Holy One of Israel. And there's an intentional praise taking place here. The lute, the harp, about his faithfulness. Are you intentional about your praise to God? My lips shall greatly rejoice when I sing to you, and my soul which you have redeemed. The soul redeemed causes the lips to sing. And that's what the psalmist reminds us here. But if your soul is not redeemed, it's hard to praise the King. Will you let him have all of you? My tongue also shall talk of your righteousness all the day long. My tongue shall talk of your righteousness. It's not only just singing, it's speaking. Speaking of the character of God, speaking of his righteousness. For they are confounded, for they are brought to shame who seek my hurt. Ends remembering, you're going to deal with it. And we've got to remember, the unrepentant ones that keep going and going and going, he's going to deal with it. He's got it. We don't have to get lost in that. But what we do need to get lost in, practical reminder, praise by song, praise by speech, praise by steps. What do I mean? You praise with singing to the Lord. You praise with the words that come out of your mouth, and you praise with how you live. Don't forget, every action, every thought, what you do is a worship song unto the Lord. And sometimes we make some dissonant notes, but repentance resolves the dissonance. And that's where we got to have a life of repentance. So from Psalm 70, we get go to God, leave it to God, seek God, praise God, lift his name, humble yourself, wait on him, call his name. And from Psalm 71, we're reminded, trust and take shelter in him. Look back, count your thank you Jesus's. His strength, not self. Hope and praise, nonstop. Soldiers of Christ never retire. Older saints at Calvary Chapel, Chapel Hill, you ain't retired. Light the fire, he will light the fire, and ask, what's next? What's next? Lean on the everlasting sovereign King. Praise by song, praise by speech, praise by steps. Charge for this week, ponder practical reminders and disciplines. What's in the way for you to walk by faith? What's in the way of believing He is? He is Lord of Lords. He is King of Kings. And how is He asking you to live out what you see? Because at the end of the day, we're called to be doers of the word, which means we need to prayerfully engage with the word of God. So prayerfully seek to engage. I want to have us close tonight and sing a song to the Lord. I was looking at this psalm, Holy Forever was on repeat in my mind, studying these psalms in a very wild way and just thinking too, particularly with Psalm 21 and generation to generation of children of God praising the King. So let's do that. Let's praise our King. Let's sing to Him. And saints, I just encourage you as we, again, look at these psalms. These are two lament psalms, yet we see from lamenting psalms, when we look to the character and nature of the Lord God Almighty, we really get a new and greater understanding of how He turns sorrow to joy. For He is. Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, Father God, we thank You for who You are, Lord. Father, thank You for the manna in Your word, the treasures that You give, Lord, to help us grow, to help us look towards You. Father God, we love You. And Lord, we just thank You, Father, that we can come to You in the ups and the downs. And Lord, through whatever trials we may face, through whatever moments of discouragement, despair, hopelessness, whatever could come, Lord, that the enemy would love to see us draw away, help us lean in even more. Help us trust and take shelter. Help us remember we serve as bondservants of God and the Lord Jesus Christ, the King of Kings, who is holy forever, who does not change, and who remains on the throne. Lord, who You are, give such comfort, and we praise and thank You for that. In the mighty name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray this. Amen. Let's stand and sing to the Lord.